Does an orthopedic condition or sports injury have you sidelined? Make your comeback with GW Hospital Sports Medicine. We offer services from neck to toe, including care for shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, and hands. Plus, we're the official healthcare partner of GW Athletics, the DC Furies, and the DC Revolution. Get back to doing the things you love. Learn more at gwhospital.com/sportsmed or call 888-4-GW-DOCS. Physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
Are you ready?
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest edition of the Broad Street Line. I am Roy Burton. Alongside me, as always, my tag team partner, a man who was able to down 8 Phillies Franks at Dollar Dog Night earlier this week, one Chris Domingo. Mr. Domingo, how are you doing as always, as we say during this pandemic, this air quote Saturday morning, sir?
Oh, man, it's always something here in the city of Philly, man. Like, who would have thought that a pitch clock would be blamed for people getting loaded, or shall I say more loaded? Because I don't know if you've ever been to a game. People get tanked at baseball games. Tanked.
Yeah, so a lot of Philadelphia Phillies things going on in the news, and quite frankly, they've been more entertaining off the field than they have been on the field this year, and we'll talk about them on the field in a bit. But earlier this week, there was Dollar Dog Night, and which led to a fight in the stands of Citizens Bank Park, because people, for some reason, cannot control themselves when hot dogs are $1. There was the, according to the report, there was a story of a kid in Section 112, not where the players dwell, where a kid was eating, I think he had 13 hot dogs, and the fans were cheering him and goading him to eat more and more hot dogs, to the point where people started throwing hot dogs at him to eat. This led to a food fight.
This led to a food fight.
Which led to fists being thrown and other things being thrown. And yeah, it was not a good scene in Philadelphia earlier.
No, but like, would this have happened if, like, I mean, just to give some historical context, the first few games of a season aren't fun to Phillies fans. Cause I don't know if you remember back in the day when, like, I don't know, like the high schools used to fight each other. Absolutely. Like, I don't know, at opening day. And now you got, like, I don't know, like Dollar Dog drama. I don't know. I think people just need to, like they're happy the Phils are back. They don't know how to act when they're drinking their their right wing beer, or sorry, Bud Light. I don't understand. And I'll say it, I love Philly, but man, Philly has probably one of the bigger per capita ratio of bad drunks. I'm telling you, man, like, I don't know. And this isn't just isolated to like Phillies games. You go to like almost every sporting event, there's just too many bozos, drunk bozos, just like, I don't know, just not able to like handle themselves. It bothers me.
And speaking of drunk bozos, thank you for the segue. There is also debate among
Phillies fans. People talking about the Sixers? Oh, sorry.
There's also debate among Phillies fans about the extension of beer sales thanks to the pitch clock, as Chris mentioned at the top of the show.
We're talking about one inning.
Yeah, so the pitch clock has kind of reduced times in baseball by more than 20 minutes a game, which is amazing. The pitch clock has been the best invention, innovation in the sport of baseball in quite some time. However, of course, you have 20 or so less minutes a game. You have 20 or so less minutes to sell beer. So a lot of teams around the country, including the Phillies, have decided to extend beer sales from the seventh inning through the eighth inning. Phillies pitcher Matt Strom said, "Nah, man, like, we need to got to go the other way with this, because now you got drunks drinking into the eighth inning and then they're getting in the car 20 minutes later and driving home." And the man has a point. Like, I get it.
But let's just say I do get the spirit of it, but I'm not sure 20 minutes and the amount of beer you consume in 20 minutes is going to be the deciding factor of whether you can and can't drive. Because I think that determination has been made in probably like the fourth or fifth inning.
But 20 minutes is better than 0 minutes, right? Like, I mean, anything you can do.
No, but like, I don't know. Like, no, yeah. Like, regardless of whether you're drinking in the fourth inning, the fifth inning, or the sixth inning, or the eighth inning, you shouldn't be driving, period. So, correct. Like, I mean, let's, like, I don't know. Like, I get the spirit of it, but I don't really think 20 minutes. And, like, the amount of beer you could consume in 20 minutes is, like, is going to affect the ability to drive or not drive. You're going to be able to not drive well before that.
I'm just going to say, and we'll end on this. I'm just going to say, you just said yourself, we have the highest per capita of drunk idiots here in Philadelphia when it comes to sporting events. Anything we can do to reduce the amount, forget driving for a second, anything we can do to reduce the amount of drunkard incidents happening at Philadelphia sporting events is a good thing, right?
No, I think so, but I don't think that this is like, I don't know, like people are saying, oh, like you're going to be able to drive home. I'm like, this isn't an issue of driving drunk or not.
Yeah, like, you're not going to sober up in 20 minutes, like you said. Like,
No, but like, I don't know. I do agree that, I don't know. And like adding another inning for these idiots, because that's what they are. They're idiots. Like, I'm telling you, like I've been a drinker for a long time. And like, I don't know. I was never, and you've been to many sporting events. I'm not an in-game drinker. I'll drink a ton before the game. I don't even think so. Like, but once I'm in the game, don't you want to watch the game?
Well, everybody's different. Again, I can't speak for everybody. Like people like, you know, like to drink at games because it's a social event. You're there with your friends. You want to get a couple beers on, you know, you want to feel good or whatever like that. Like, you and me are different. You know, we like to like follow the action on the field, on the court and things like that. So we're a little bit different than some. I'm not going to judge anybody. Cause again, like it's, you know, you're together with your friends. You kind of do whatever you want. Like it's whatever. But again, just, we always ask, you know, whatever, like whenever you drink, just drink responsibly. That's all we're saying. And like, if you want to drink in the parking lot before the game or whatever, like that's fine or whatever.
But, after a game.
After a game, that's fine. If you're going to drink, do not drive. Or you're going to drink to excess. I'll say that. Do not drive. If the Phillies want to combat this, open the gates up a half an hour earlier. Like, how about that? I think that's it. If you want to, let's cut the beer sales off into six, but just let people in a half an hour earlier. If you want your money, because people will cut. If you will open the gates for a 7 o'clock game at like 4 or 4:30, people will show up and they'll buy beer because they ain't nothing else to do. Ain't nothing else going on. Let people come in, watch batting practice. You still get your beer sales. It don't cost you nothing extra. I think everybody wins. But yeah, just to get back to your original point, nobody's getting sober, you know, between the 20 minutes between inning 8 and inning 9 after they had like 7 beers. Like, they should just say Uber or a Lyft or whatever if you're going to drink that many beers, period.
That's it. Yeah, no, like will the idiot percentage go up a little bit? Yes. Is it significant? I don't think so. I get the point of it, but if we're trying to curtail drunk driving, why? Let's find another way.
Yeah, and hopefully the Phillies can find some ways to get some dubs because it's kind of been hard for them. But we'll talk about them later in the show. We have a lot of stuff to get to. We are less than 2 weeks away from the 2023 National Football League draft. So we have a lot of draft stuff to kind of get into, some other Eagles news to discuss as well, and NFL news. Some news down I-95, some big news down I-95 that broke earlier this week that we're going to talk about. And of course, the NBA playoffs I was going to say they're in gear, but the play-in stuff doesn't count as playoffs. So they actually begin today, Saturday, with the Sixers kicking things off in the first game.
I need your opinion about these play-in games.
Keep it. Save it. I have a very strong opinion about these play-in games. So we'll talk about the play-in games and other stuff as well. So a lot of stuff to get to in this edition of the Broad Street Line. As we always say, sit back, relax, take a ride on the Broad Street Line, because the future of Sports Talk Radio has finally arrived. Any shout-outs, my friend?
No, let's just say the usual thank yous.
Thank you guys, as always, for listening to us and supporting us wherever and however you do so, whether you listen to us every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on 106.5 FM, WPPM LP Philadelphia, or wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube Music, Spotify, Spreaker. Just do a search for the Broad Street Line. Download us to your phone, your computer, your iPad, your MP3-enabled device. Listen to us at home. Take us with you on the go. We are a very, very accessible show, 24/7, 365. And speaking of accessible, you can also follow us on the Twitter machine. He is at SKD215. I am at the BS line. Obviously, the NBA playoffs are going on this weekend, so I will be tweeting about that for the most part. I don't know if you're going to be done your video game.
No.
I don't just jump by then, so.
I've decided the season has officially started.
Finally.
after 82. Because I can tell you, I see there have been seasons where I've watched hundreds of games of, like, I don't know, not just Sixers, everything. I think I've watched 15 NBA games in 5 months. Like, I don't know. And I watched a little bit of this play-in game stuff. Holy smokes. It's bad basketball, man. I don't know. Like, it is just – I mean, we got some – like, I don't know. Like, we got some viral moments out of DeMar DeRozan's daughter, which is great. But, man, if you're just – no, and this is my – I think that my fundamental issue with the NBA right now, the product on the court, which rarely gets talked about ever because it's all about ring culture and just, like, MVP discourse and all this other nonsense. The product on the court is not good, period. And I would like to engage anyone to say that it is something otherwise.
Let's say this. Let's start with the playing games, because you asked me about this about 2 minutes ago. I'm going to say this, and this is probably a wildly unpopular take. I like the playing games. I like them. The basketball is not good, but I like it because it's better than the basketball we saw the week before the playing games. If that's any help for you at all in terms of this argument, because that last week of basketball that we saw heading into the playing games, where these guys just didn't even try, like the Dallas Mavericks just straight up didn't try for a couple of games and openly admitted it.
Openly a borderline playoff team. This isn't like the Magic or, like, I don't know, a team, the Pistons, that are just, like, riding it out. Like, I'm telling you, man, like, there is a fundamental problem with, I don't know if it's the mindset of an NBA player, I don't know. But it is a bad look when you have borderline playoff teams that say, we would not rather make the playoffs than get, than we'd rather get the 12th pick in a draft of, like, maybe four players. Like, this is, I'm telling you, the thinking in the NBA is really screwed up.
Well, the Mavericks have a special situation because they're kind of like they owe a pick and to the Knicks. And because, you know, based on where they are in the standings, you know, it was more beneficial for them to straight up tank and get in that lottery and not owe that pick to the Knicks. But again, you have to kind of figure something out with this, because you can't have teams like you said on the precipice, on the borderline. I mean, they could have won in the last couple of games and got that 10 seed. And been in the play-in tournament, and they said like, nah, like, we're not even going to even try. You can't have that. You absolutely can't have that. Whether you have to change protections on picks, whether you got to, like, find teams heavily, you got to take picks away. Like, the Mavericks, like, I don't know why we're not talking about this more. You got to come down hard on the Mavericks. Like, this is unbelievable.
No, I can understand a team that is going nowhere, tanking and, like, trying to get a pick. I mean, it's. It sucks, but, like, I get it. This team has Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And, I mean, like, don't the players, like, I don't know, don't players get bonuses if they make the playoffs? Like, I don't under – like, I mean, like, this would never happen in the NBA, NFL, ever.
It would never happen in the NFL. I can't imagine it would happen in most other sports.
It would happen in any other sport.
Yeah. Like, I can't imagine that happens in most other sports. And you're right. Like, players get – they get playoff checks. I mean, like, teams who make the playoffs, like, every player gets a playoff check, and it's a pretty decent check.
Don't you get, like, at least one game of, like, ticket revenue? Like, I don't know.
You get two, at least, you know, but you get a playoff check.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I thought it was best. No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, they would rather not, like, no, you're right. It should be a bigger story, because this comes back to my thinking is, do the NBA – does the NBA like playing basketball? Do the players like playing basketball? And do the owners like winning? And, like, I don't know. It's this news about, like, I don't know, like, the NBA making budget cuts, even though they were bragging about, like, the most tickets sold. Something doesn't smell right here. Like, I don't know. And this isn't, like, a report that said they had the most attended. This was coming from NBA communication that, like, we're bragging about, oh my God, look at our game. Everyone loves us. And you're, like, making budget cuts. That don't make sense. And that's why I keep saying they, like, I don't know. I understand that it's a players league and they frankly run the league. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. There's no other way around it. But if you're going to run the league in so many ways, you need to give back instead of taking so much. Like, I don't know. There needs to be this mindset of, yo, we got to, like, do our part. And it's frustrating as, like, a lifelong NBA fan to see this happening. And frankly, it kind of takes away the joy of watching. No, but for me, fundamentally, the reason why I don't watch basketball is it sucks. Like, I don't know. Like, I hate watching – sorry for this diatribe. I hate watching 45 combined threes a game from teams that can't shoot threes. Like, I don't mind it if it's the Warriors. Or, like, I don't know. Like, but do I want to see 43s jacked up between the Magic and the Pistons? No!
So let's kind of unpack, like a lot of what you said just now. So I think your original point is 100% on. Like, do the players like playing basketball? I think the answer is they don't like playing 82 games, but they like getting paid for 82 games.
Yeah.
Like, so I think you need to, like, the players in the league and whoever, like, you got to come to some kind of happy medium. It's like, look, man, it's like, the schedule's crazy. 82 games is too much for whatever reason. Like, it's too much. We got to figure out something to make everybody happy, to make the players happy, to make the owners happy, to make the fans happy, and by giving them quality basketball. That's probably a reduction in schedule, but nobody wants to give money back. So, you know, how do you figure that? How do you fix that? I don't know what the answer to that is, other than cutting the schedule down and probably giving some money back. But that's neither here nor there. Like you said, league set records for total attendance, average attendance, and sellouts. And arenas were filled to 97% capacity this year for terrible basketball, by and large. They got 13 billion views on NBA clips on IG this year. And all of a sudden, they said, hey, we got to freeze travel. We got to make budget cuts. Something doesn't add up, man. Like, something's not right. Like, something doesn't make sense. You're giving us a bad product. You're getting tons of views all over the place. You're presumably making decent money, and you're probably going to make really good money when the TV deals are up in a couple of years. But now you don't have enough money to you know, to let people travel like usual.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Something's not right.
No, it doesn't make sense. And my only thought is maybe they don't think they're going to get as much money in this new TV deal as they think. No, that really is the only thing, because that's what, like, I don't know. That's the golden parachute for every sport. The NFL doing budget cuts, that's just to their media thing, which has lost money since the beginning of time. But, I mean, when you make $80 billion, you can accept a loss. But I feel like the NBA, it's like league-wide where you're doing this thing. And I feel that, you know why you're probably not going to get as much money in this TV deal? Because the basketball sucks. So let's fix the basketball. But you know what? I watched a little bit of, like, that the tournament. Tournaments, no one in their right mind can tell me that college basketball is even a fraction more entertaining than NBA basketball, which isn't that good right now. I'm telling you, the Kerrization of basketball is like, I don't know. It's a curse, because now you just have everyone and their mama and their cousin just pulling up. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. I saw, like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander make this great. Like he was underneath the basket. And I still get, like, Tourette's when I see a guy underneath the basket. Just go off for the pass. And like, I don't know. Like, it's all this, no, it's the efficiency thing. Let's go for the most efficient. No, sometimes the most efficient shot isn't the most prudent shot. And I don't know. This is where I think analytics is, like, seeped into, like, the brains of too many NBA people.
I'll go the other way on this. I don't have a problem with, because again, like, the more fit, like, the best, you know, the most efficient shots are, you know, shots at the rim and shots behind the arc. I mean, like, that's, you know, that's been the whole Daryl Morey, you know, thing, and, you know, going back for, you know, 10 plus years or whatever. Like, I understand, but the problem is, like you said, there are enough people who make those who can make those kind of shots behind the arc consistently, and they take them anyway. That's when the basketball kind of gets bad, when teams are gotten guys who kind of just don't understand, like, hey, man, like, I'm not as good of a shooter as a Steph Curry, as a Klay Thompson or whatever, but I'm going to still put up 6 or 7 a game, because if I make 2, then okay, that's great. Like, you got to find a happy medium between, hey, like, I know this is not my lane, so I need to kind of get the guys whose lane it is, better shots, or I need to get to the basket. I don't think we found that middle ground yet for some of those guys, but I think we'll find. I think the game will evolve where we'll get to that point 10 or 15 years. Cause we see it now, like in youth basketball, all these kids do is take shots. That's all they do is shoot. Yeah. That's all they do.
I feel like I don't know. And also I feel the 3-and-D-ization of the NBA is frankly ruining it too. Because now I'm telling you, guys like Andre Iguodala, who was, I think literally might be one of the very first labeled 3-and-D guys. And like now, if you're 6'7" and you got some wingspan, let's try to make you a 3-and-D. Where like I'd say 75% of these guys, like, no, they see a Paul George or a Kawhi Leonard who got basically evolved into like shooters. But you know, for every Paul George, there's like, I don't know, 400 Michael Kidd Gilchrist who shoot themselves out of the league because they were forced to be a shooter. Where, like, I'm sorry, there could have been a spot for MKG in the league if he could have been an energy guy or something. But like, no, let's try to force him in a 3-and-D position.
Yeah, if you're
sorry
if you're,
for this, like, and no, it's just I tried to. Well, no, I like watching the Thunder. The Thunder seemed fine, but it's just that Timberwolves Lakers game. I can't believe people are talking this Lakers team up. That team is not that good.
No, the Lakers stink. Timberwolves really stink too. I mean, they're probably better without Rudy Gobert, who we'll talk about in a second. But they stink too. Like, well, look, all these teams in the play-in tournament or whatever, they're not very good teams. That's why they're in the play-in tournament. Like, we saw what happened the other night to Toronto. They couldn't make free throws because there was a girl, DeMar DeRozan's daughter, screaming behind the basket. Like, none of these teams are really good. And the NBA is like super top heavy, as we always talk about. And that top heaviness kind of like is highlighted when you watch these play-in games because these teams are awful. Like, they're just flat out awful teams. But that being said, like, adding a layer of something that's better than trash. That's better than trash regular season basketball, I'm okay with. Like, it's like, you know what? Like, this isn't the greatest basketball in the world. I get it. But this has some stakes. These guys are trying. They stink. They miss a ton of free throws. They miss a ton of three-pointers. But it's better quality basketball than the random game I turn on Tuesday night on NBA TV. So I'll take it.
I think because – I mean, get the back on it. The intensity isn't there most nights in the NBA. It's not. And this is – that goes back to that. Like, I don't know. Like, I know eras are different. But, man, it looks like a lot of these players could care less on a given night. They really don't. Like, I don't know. Like, and I'm not expecting every dude to be intense like Jordan and Kobe. But, God, like, I don't know. Like, pretend like you care. Like, I don't – and you know what? That stuff – rubs off on the product, and like that's a domino effect, man. And like, I don't know, like, I don't expect you to play like every game's the NBA final, but I sure as hell don't expect you to play like you're practicing in like, I don't know, like Peacock.
Yeah, no. April, I'll say like late March and April basketball, NBA basketball is just absolute garbage. It's just garbage. Like, there's just certain, like, and again, I understand it because the season's 82 games long because they've been playing since, you know, October, the middle of October. Like, it's a long season. By that time, most of the teams are locked in the playoffs, might even be locked in the playoff spot. Like, it's bad basketball. Like, I understand. The problem is, that's the problem. The thing is, you got to do something to fix this. You got to figure this out. Again, whether you shorten the season, something. Like, you got to figure this out. This is bad basketball. And as you mentioned before, you can't keep putting bad product out there because it's going to affect the money that you get from whoever it is, whether it's ESPN or Turner, or whether Apple kind of gets in the mix. I think you're right. Like, I think they probably think, because I heard maybe it was a few months ago, they were saying like, oh, the NBA might get triple what they got last time. They're not getting triple. We're not getting triple. Like, there ain't no way. Like, the NFL can get triple because they're the NFL. Like, they can basically set their price. I don't care how many Apples and Googles and Netflixes are out there. Like, there is a cap on the amount of money that people are going to pay for NBA basketball. And it ain't triple what they're making now. Probably not even double.
I feel that, like, I don't know. This is kind of I think this is the precursor I don't know if any of the solutions help. Like, I don't know, the in-game, the in-season tournament. This really starts with limiting the amount of games and then I don't know, flipping that over is the buy-in from the players to say, okay, We gave it 10 less games. There's not no more or very a lot less load management because
no load more management back
exists.
Back. Right.
But you can't like I don't know like I mean how many games no like how many games has Kawhi Leonard played the last 5 years?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, guys, like, you, like, look at all the guys in, like, the MVP voting. Like, I think it was, like, what, Embiid missed 13, no, 14. I think Jokic missed 13, and Giannis missed 19 games this year. I mean, that's a lot of basketball. I mean, like, you know, they all
Anthony,
all
had,
like,
no, and I mean, how many games has Anthony Davis missed? Like, these are your top but these are, like, your premier players. You can't have these dudes. Like, this would be, like, if Burrow, Allen, Jalen Hurts missed 4 or 5 games a year.
Yeah, LeBron hasn't been healthy since the bubble season. Like he's missed significant time every season since the bubble season. Like you can't have LeBron out for half the year.
Same with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Anthony Davis out half the year. Kevin Durant out half the year. Kawhi Leonard out half the year. You know, Giannis out a quarter of the year. Like Luka out a third of the year. Like you can't. Like, that's just not sustainable. Like it's not sustainable. Like I don't understand. Listen, you can afford. You can afford to figure out a financial solution that'll make these players happy. You know, whether you want to give them their whole contracts or prorated or whatever, you got to figure it out because it's better to have these guys on the court 72 games a year, you know, 95% of the time than it is 80% of the time.
No, but I think you need to outline it for the players to say, you know what, like, I don't know, for the long-term health of the league, you need, like, we need.
And for the
long-term health. Yeah, no, like, no, but I feel that, like, I don't know. Like short term, a lot of players are like, "Yo, just give me my money now."
Right.
Like I don't know where, but they're not seeing like.
And they don't care. I don't care. Like,
they don't. But like,
future of the NBA. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Like, there aren't gonna like. I mean, I feel the NBA was in this case like early 2000s where you just had like I don't know just like fan interest down the offense like you had like 71 to 65 finals games. Like that's probably the reason. No. Like you said, it comes in like cycles, like I don't like just evolution, like we're like I don't know, like you like I don't know what the hell the next evolution is, like I don't know what God, let's pray to God it's not more threes, but no, I feel like I don't know, it's like you're gonna need like one of these like dudes, maybe it's gonna be like Wembanyama, like I don't know, where like they change the way the game is played, but. I don't know. And like now, now a lot of the guys that kind of carried the lead for the last 10 years are going to be gone soon. I mean, like, I don't see Curry playing much longer. I don't see LeBron playing much longer.
Yeah, no, like LeBron's going to play, you know, hang around until Bronny comes in. You know, Steph Curry's probably got, you know, maybe 4 or 5 more years. Like, it's not that much. Yeah, so I mean, it's going to be up to the Ja Morants, you know, Giannis will be around for a while, but like the Ja Morants, you know, if he can ever kind of get his hamstring right. The Zion Williamsons, you know, like the younger generation.
Yeah, what happened with Zion Williamson? He was going to be that dude. And like, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. Like, and I think like, I don't know, someone said it and I like didn't like disregard it, but I didn't regard it. I feel like social media like plays a bigger role in the NBA than any other sport. And that has a positive and a negative effect on these players.
I mean, yeah, like we said before, what the 13 billion IG views this year and 32 billion views across all social media accounts. Yeah, like, you know, God bless the NFL, but you're not getting that kind of IG stuff every single week, every single day, you know, from the NFL. I mean, like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes might throw like a no-look pass and like people will watch it for a day, but that'll be it. Like the NBA has like every single day, you know, there's 6, 8, 10, 12 games.
But how do you quantify that? Like, I mean, how do you monetize that? I feel like, I don't know, like we're, I don't know. I think that's the rub here with the NBA. It's like you're very visible all over the world. How do you monetize this and how do you make money off of it? Because I feel that like, I don't know. That was a very big red flag for me. It was like, I don't know, like, a league that apparently like supposedly makes hundreds of millions of dollars a year is making budget cuts. That just shows you. And I mean, this is why, like, I don't know, they're not a public company. You could see the books, but like, I don't know, they must think an influx of money is not coming in anymore.
Yeah. And hopefully for them, you know, we have a good playoff.
They need a great playoffs where, like, I don't know, like, there's no excuse. Like, you got your stars. All you got damn near every star that you'd won except for Zion. But like you got Durant, you got Curry, you got LeBron, you got Embiid, you got Jokic, you got Giannis. Like I don't know, like you got like I don't know. Let's hope you get 2 months of good basketball.
And Sixers have the Nets coming into town today, Saturday, kicking off the Eastern Conference playoffs. Sixers, Brooklyn Nets, 4-game series, best of 7 series in the first round. Series starts today, this afternoon, actually. Again, the Nets have played pretty decent basketball after kind of shaking up the whole team midseason. Mikal Bridges has been a fantastic addition to the Nets. Nets, of course, will be sans Ben Simmons, who may or may not, who will probably not be on the bench. Maybe watching at home in his Louis Vuitton sweatshirt as his Nets take on the Sixers. I don't think that the Sixers have any problems with the Nets. I think they handle them. They're going to win the game, win the series. And if I had to put a number on, I'd say in 5 games, because the Sixers kind of just do Sixers things sometimes and just kind of give one up. So I think they win it in 5 games. I'm not really concerned about this. I don't know how much you've seen of the Nets. I mean, they're a decent team, but I mean,
I saw something. I've actually read more basketball content in the last 3 days than I have in like 3 months. Is there a difference between this iteration of the Sixers and the past that gives you hope? Because I think that's really only – that's all that people have right now. Because if you just kind of line this up, it's looking like another second-round exit. But for the optimistic view of things, what is different about this team that gives you even a – not sliver, because you need a little more than sliver – a modicum amount of hope that they can somehow – like, what is considered a successful playoff run? Do you need to get to a finals?
Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, but you don't need to get to the finals.
No. You have to get to the conference finals. If you do not get to the conference finals, this is a wildly unsuccessful run. No, I really think it comes down to, I think this team is a little bit more, they're better defensively as far as like in the starting lineup. I mean, they have guys in the starting lineup who you can put on a guy. And again, you're not going to slow down a Tatum. You're not going to stop a Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown or anything like that. But you have guys, you have a D'Anthony Melton, like you can put on a guy to kind of.
Isn't this why you bring in the Sneaker Man? Isn't this why you bring in PJ Tucker to put him on Tatum, put him on Brown, put him on. The Harden as a GM Harden as Maury, collaboration. Because this is where you just hope that you lived with those 1-point nights, 3-point, whatever the hell he was doing most of the season, and say, you know what? We got here. PJ, lock the dude up.
Yeah.
And then you just hope that, but for me, it's been about defense, but it's always been about offense. And who on this team, and this is something that isn't different from any other season, because I still don't know, what guy do you have ultimate faith in to take in a crunch time perimeter shot?
No, I mean, look, it's two guys. I mean, well, let me say, there are two guys who are going to take the shot, and whether or not you have faith in those, well, let me run that back. There are 3 guys who can take the crunch time perimeter shot. It depends on how much faith you have in Joel Embiid, who's your center, James Harden, and Tyrese Maxey to take that shot. Now, that's up to you. It's neither here nor there. That crunch time shot's important. No, but it's not even just that. It's not even the perimeter shot. It's not even that. Because I saw the Bulls game. I don't know if you saw that Bulls Toronto game. Zach LaVine said, you know what? I'm just gonna get mine. And in the second half of that game, he scored 30 points. He got to the basket when he wanted to. He made a shot when he wanted to. DeMar DeRozan had a couple drives to the basket. Like when they needed a basket, they just gave the ball to a guy and got out the way.
Yeah,
You need a guy who can do that.
Do the Sixers have a get out of my way guy?
Not to that level. No.
Okay. No.
Let me say this though. James Harden has been a lot better than he was last year in getting to the basket, drawing contact, finishing, all that kind of stuff. He's been great. He's been really good at that.
Does that translate to the real season? Because you're not going to get a lot of those calls against a Boston that will make that little pocket where I see these videos of Harden from 3 years ago. I know he led the league in assists and all that. and he's evolved in his game. But Jesus, that is like a completely different player 2-3 years ago, man. This dude, no, this was a get out of my way. He's telling Embiid to get out of his way. That's how that's how insanely dominant James Harden was. And I sometimes think I know better. I really think Maxey's got to be the guy where, like, I don't know, he's not going to do it every time, but he needs that, like, those moments of fire where, like, he's like, he's got the torch on top of his head. Like, I don't know, like, he's not going to be the guy every time, but I feel if you need that, like, I don't know, that 8 points in three, like, I don't know, 8 points in a minute and a half, or like, I don't, because you need those spurts. And as good as Harden is, he's not going to give you 10 points in, I don't know, 2 minutes anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be rare. It's good. Like Harden's probably not going to give you that stuff. But then again, that's why having Maxey off the bench is good, because, again, you can have him to come in and be
Lou Will. Like we've said, like, you need that, like, dude that just – it comes off the bench and is just firing. And you – and, like, I don't know, like, he'll probably end up playing crunch time, depending on, like, if he's hot. Like, but you need Maxey to just come in and say, you know what, I'm taking over. And I feel that's really, like, I don't know, like, against the Boston, that's real. No, and, like, I don't, because I – and that's where I feel like – and but this is where Embiid needs to just say, you know what, give me the ball and I'm not going to mess around any. Like, because there's too much – there's been too much, like waiting and, like, I don't know. Once Embiid gets the ball, he has to make a move, whether it's in the post or whether it's, like at the elbow or whatever. There's none of this, like, let's, like, kind of, like, pound the ball.
No, and no, and the Sixers, and I'll say right now, the Sixers aren't going to beat Boston, aren't going to beat Milwaukee, because I think I'm not concerned about Embiid. Embiid's going to get his, no matter who they play. Al Horford, barbecue chicken, whoever the Bucks put on them barbecue chicken, that doesn't matter. Sixers aren't going to win either one of those series unless Tyrese Maxey has a fantastic series. I mean, like 18 to 20 points a game, like consistently,
really?
Like consistent. Like you can't rely on Tobias Harris to be that other guy.
You can't.
I think Joel's going to get his more often than not. Like James Harden's going to have a pretty good game. He might have a one stinker in there, but he's going to be fine. Tobias is Tobias. Like, he is what he is. Like, Tyrese Maxey needs to be that guy. Like, he needs to be that guy that they've lacked all these years coming off the bench, because
that's the issue
in the playoffs. It's like, who's your bench scorer? Shake Milton? George Niang? Like, you aren't getting points off the bench. Now you can.
No, and I feel like, I don't know, it's coming in waves too, because, like, you just, and for the longest time, this has been going on for years, you just don't have a dude that can, like, I don't know, like, I don't know, just get white hot and score 15 and a quarter or 12 and a quarter. Like, those are those like spurts that win a game and then win a series. And no, I know he's in his third year, but, like, I'll be honest. I think Maxey's the only hope for them to win an extra round. I feel like, I even feel the stars, like, for Boston. Like, I don't know, like, that team feels a little off the last, like, 30 games, but you got probably the best playoff player in that series. But Embiid is 1B. I think Brown's a better than Harden, but, like, I don't know. I'd say slight edge to the Celtics. That's why you need your bench to kill the Celtics. And I don't know if that's possible unless you have Super Maxey beating a Brogdon, because they got Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, no, I mean, like they're not gonna, like, one to nine or one to, you know, whatever. I mean, the Celtics go pretty deep, like one to whatever, however far you want to go on the depth chart. The Celtics are better than you, but you're gonna need your Tyrese Maxey needs to be better than Malcolm Brogdon. Period, point blank. I mean, that kind of is what it is. I think Joel Embiid's the best player in the series, but, I mean, that's neither here nor there. Nothing really matters. All due respect to the Brooklyn Nets, this series don't matter. Like, by the time we are on these airwaves again, the Sixers will be up either 2-1 or 3-0. And they'll be basically on the doorstep of closing this out. And hopefully that'll give them, I don't know, 4 or 5 days off, you know, before the second round series. None of this matters. I mean, this is really just about staying healthy and figuring out the right rotation until that Boston series, because nothing else matters.
No, I mean, like, really, like, You could have not watched the entire season like I did and just say, you know what? I'm just going to tune into the Celtics series. Because really, that's the entire season.
That's it. That's the whole season. It is what it is.
No, so, that, yes. that's what the Sixers era has come down to. It's like, I'm sorry. Like, I think it's great that they won 54 games. It don't matter. Because, no, they have built themselves where, like, I don't know, like, this is the most successful Sixers run ever. Like, or since 82. Like, I don't know, like, but it don't matter if you can't win, if you can't beat the bully. And the Celtics have bullied this team for 10 years.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, this is the most wins by a Sixers team since that 2001 team. But again, they haven't been able to get over that second round hump for quite some time. The Celtics have to take on the Atlanta Hawks, who stink. You know, the Hawks are terrible. I have no idea. I know how they beat Miami, but they're terrible. So the Celtics beat the Hawks, or Celtics have to face the Hawks in their first round series. Cleveland faces the Knicks, and Milwaukee faces the winner of the Chicago-Miami final playing game. Of course, that happened before we recorded this, so not sure who that's going to be. Doesn't really matter. I don't think the Celtics are going to have too much problem with the Hawks, so that Sixers-Celtics series is probably going to start, I don't know, mid the week after next. So, yeah, that's all that matters. That's all that matters, man. Nothing else matters. Let me just say this. Well, let's pull the Sixers out for a second. If the Sixers do not win the East, who do you see coming out of the Eastern Conference?
Milwaukee.
Okay.
All right. They feel like, I don't know, they're the most complete team in the NBA. They know, and they compliment, like, no. The Bucks have built the most ideal team around Giannis. I mean, guys who aren't looking for the limelight, guys that are just like, I don't know. Like, Brook Lopez is like, I saw he's like front runner for DPOY. Mm-hmm. Brook Lopez, it's crazy. He's evolved his game from being what? A low post guy to an elite defender who shoots threes, and he's having fun. And no, and like, you got the dude who locks up the best perimeter player, Drew. You got the shot creator in Middleton. And now you got dudes, NBA players, who want to play in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Go figure.
No, it's nice to have a guy like Giannis, who you can play with anybody, who kind of fits in with anybody, and everybody kind of fits in with him because of his skill set. So, yeah, so I agree. Milwaukee, I have Milwaukee coming out of the East as well. Out West, we have a few interesting matchups. We have Denver is going to face the winner of the OKC-Minnesota play-in. Again, Minnesota has their own internal issues going on with them, so who the heck knows? Again, as of this recording, we're not sure who won that play-in game. Memphis is playing L.A., the Los Angeles Lakers, that is. Memphis, and Ja Morant says he's fine in the West, so we'll see if they're really fine in the West, even though the Lakers stink. They're probably fine with the Lakers. We'll see what happens. The 3-seed Sacramento Kings face the 6-seed Golden State Warriors, who can't win on the road. I'm sure they'll win this series, but it's been a weird mixed bag for the Warriors. And finally, you have the Suns versus the LA Clippers. And
you think the Warriors will beat the Kings?
The Warriors are going to beat the Kings. I'll put money on that. I will put my cash money on the Warriors beating. And I know they can't win on the road. They won like, what, 10, 11 road games this year, which is amazing. I know they've been hurt, but that's unbelievably bad. That's like two more than the Rockets or something like that. Unbelievably bad. They will beat the Kings. And the Kings are fine. They're a fine team. They're not the Warriors. The Warriors will get it right. So I think they win. But that's neither here nor there. Who do you have coming out of the West? Because I think the West is just wide open, man. It's a mixed bag.
No, it's not deep. It's wide open. That's a perfect word for it. It's not deep. Like, I don't know. They're like, I don't know. It's not a gauntlet, as like some jabronis have been saying. I'm going to say, if this dude is this good, if Kevin Durant is this good, he should be able to, with Devin Booker, find a way to get out of that West. Like, I don't know. He's like, for me, he's probably the best player in that conference. You got Book. I think you got enough to kind of, like, I don't know. No, Durant should carry you in a series, period. And I think he will. And I don't know. I don't think Memphis is ready. I think they're the perfect, like, I don't know, reading their clippings way too much. I don't know if Jokic and Murray are good enough to beat Durant and Booker in a series. So I'm, and I just don't think the Lakers are that good. So, yeah, and I think the Warriors are on their last legs. So I think that's a positive elimination. I'm going to take the Suns.
Yeah. If I'd have been putting money on this too, I'd probably take the Suns. Cause again, like you said, like I can't trust in a team with, you know, Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray as your second and third options. Like, you know, Memphis, like you said, like they come at you in waves, but they kind of smell themselves a little bit. And Sacramento goes to say, man, like that's whatever. Like those teams will not make the you know, the NBA finals this year. So, yeah. So like by process of elimination.
No, this is a big legacy year for Durant, man. Like, I don't know. Like you've been like, I don't know.
A lot of people, I think.
Yeah. No, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I think people just disqualified Durant because they just thought with the Nets, he's not winning anything. You got a chance to steal a ring here. And if you get a ring, not like, because I don't think the Suns are a super team. I mean, I don't like, I don't know. They got old ass Chris Paul and Booker. So, no. And there's a, and I mean, you got paid. Like, you could take down Giannis, but I still think Milwaukee's the best team, and I think they'll win it all again.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement. Milwaukee in the East, Phoenix in the West, and Milwaukee winning it all. But again, we'll kind of see how this plays out. Next week, we'll have a better idea.
Oh, but Joel Embiid's going to win the MVP.
Yes, Joel Embiid, again, appears to be the leader in the clubhouse with a comfortable lead in MVP voting. Happy for Joel Embiid if he gets it. Kudos to him. Shout out to him. Again,
kudos to all the Steve Kornackis that have been counting these votes. Absolute losers. I'm sorry.
Second scoring title for Joel Embiid, and James Harden, again, became the first player in the NBA history to win multiple scoring titles and multiple assist titles. So kudos to them. But again, you got to kind of put this on a put this to ice and get to the conference finals. For some reason, and I'll close on this, for some reason, Doc says he doesn't expect a lot to happen team-wise if the team doesn't make
playoff run. He's talking nervous. Like, no, whenever I see Doc Rivers talking, like, I don't know, with his chest out, that's when he knows that, like, the pressure's on, because if they don't beat Boston, he's getting fired, Harden's off to Houston, and they got to – and no, and like – and that's when you make the decision, is do you re-pivot or do you do a reset? And I don't know. Like, that's going to be the $50 million question, is because, like, if you don't get out of the second round, Harden's gone. And, like, to be honest, I'm not sure Harden isn't gone regardless. But, like, no, I feel like, I don't know, this is going to tell you what you should do for the next – I'll say 5 years. I'll say 2 to 3 years. Is you're going to have finally an expiring contract, a $38 million one.
Yep.
Like, and I guess, do you, like, I don't know, do you try to, I don't know, train for Dame Little or But what does Dame Little do for a team now? Isn't he, like, really old?
What does he do for a team? What is the hole that James Harden does for your team? Nothing. It's Dame time, baby. Dame time.
No, but Roy, don't you feel like when people are doing, like, I don't know, synopsises and just recaps of all this, are you going to always feel that the Sixers were just a day late and, like, just late with everything? Where, like, late getting James Harden. Late getting X player, late, like, I don't know. They just feel their timing will forever be off in this era.
I don't know if their timing was off. I think they were, to be honest, I think they just were the, I won't say beneficiaries. I think they just had a hugely bad run of luck. Like, it's been a lot of just unlucky things that have happened to this Sixers team that have caused them to kind of get to this point.
What, Ben Simmons existing?
Well, the Ben Simmons thing and the Markelle Fultz thing, and, you know, like a lot of Toronto series, the Atlanta series. I mean,
but that's not bad luck. That's incompetence.
No, I mean, okay, all right. Well, okay, it's the Atlanta series. You were incompetent because you had a. Well, all right. I'm not going to get into that discussion. But you should have won that series. I'm sorry.
But this is like. This is my rebuttal for this, is in the last two seasons, you have lost to not juggernauts in the playoffs. I'm sorry. Correct. And, like, I don't know, like, that, like, it's not like you got beat every year by the Celtics in the playoffs. You got beat by the Hawks, and you got beat, like, that's the thing. Like, I know, like, people like me will forever dump on Ben Simmons for that. But not everyone had a great Hawks. You could have beaten – you were that close to beating the Hawks with Ben Simmons just crumbling.
I mean, and you couldn't make the argument that you should have won last – you should have, you know, beat Miami last year. But, I mean, that's like, – yeah, it's whatever. But, yeah. But I think it's more bad luck than anything else. But, again, you can – whatever it is, I'm not done yet. I ain't leaving yet. If James Harden and win, I'll say win because I think he's going. I think you're right. I don't think it matters unless they make the
NBA. No, like there's enough tea leaves to say, you know what? You know,
I don't blame them.
No. Like, and once again, this comes back to, I mean, like he wants to, like, I don't know. Like, I'll be honest. I think he's past. I don't think he's a ring chaser. I think he chased the ring these couple times. He's like, you know what? It ain't for me. You know what? I'm going to go to Houston and get paid $50 million. No, I feel like I don't know. And that's where I think a lot of these NBA players, and like we scream at these players for I don't know, like front running. But in Harden's case, he's doing the opposite. So can we rip him then? I don't know. Nah, I'm not. Like, no.
Well, no, because I mean, you can say like he ain't a competitor. He ain't about that life. Like you want your guy.
But I feel like he competed enough. Where he's
did he compete enough? He led the league in assists. Like he's on a really good basketball team. And all of a sudden, I'm done.
I'm gonna ask. I'll ask you this question: can you call James Harden a dog?
Can you call him a dog?
Yeah. See, no, he's not a dog.
If you have to think about it,
he's a very talented basketball player.
You got to think about it. The answer is no. So, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not all great players are dogs. And, like, I don't know. Like, when you see a Giannis, first thing, dog, with, like, 45 G's behind it. LeBron, Durant, like, I don't know. Like, even, like, I don't know. I think
you call it being a dog. Embiid's a dog? Yeah,
no, because he wants it. And I think – and I think this is this, like, I don't know, but a lot of these NBA players are just like, you know what? I wanted it for a long time, but you know what? I'm at the tail end of my career, so let me just go to strip clubs.
I just find it hard to, and then you're probably right, but I just find it hard to, a guy who literally just led the league in assists is like, you know what? I'm done. Like, I ain't got it in me no more to fight. Like, I'm just going to go to New York. I'm going to go to Houston, make $50 million a year, and then go to Vegas on my off days. Like I would think he would want a little bit more out of it.
But I mean, have you seen this dude's like social life?
I get it.
But I also get it. Where like you're a 1% athlete, and like you know what you need to do to make this all right? Bring the dude who you should have picked over Ben Simmons in 2019 back. Find a way to get Jimmy Butler here. Like I feel like I don't know. For me, that's the ultimate, like, reset. Or no, re-pivot, because it's not a reset. Like I don't know how you do it, but, like, I don't know. I think that's the way you keep Embiid happy. Because, like, I don't know. Because if you lose in this first – if you lose the second round again, that clock is ticking.
Game time.
And it's ticking loud.
The watch is in Portland, buddy. Dame time. I'm telling you. Well, I'm going to go on a full bring Dame Lillard to Philadelphia –
are you trading Tyrese Maxey?
No, I'm trading James Harden. We're going to do a three-way deal with Houston, and I'm going to bring Dame. I'm telling you, that's it. That's the move.
What do you give in Portland?
Whatever. Like, I don't know whatever Houston wants to give Portland. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Is Tyrese Maxey off the table?
Why would I trade? Like, I don't need to trade all that stuff. Like, Houston has the assets they need to give up to Portland if they want James Harden.
But why would they want to trade anything for James Harden when he's willingly able to come there?
James Harden wants maximum James Harden money. Maximum James Harden money only.
Is Tyrese Maxey an untouchable?
Oh, not if I get Dame. I touch everybody. Everybody gets touched.
Okay. Think Dame is still a viable two?
One, yes. I believe he is a viable two. More than anything else, we talked about this maybe 6 months ago. You got to keep Joel Embiid engaged, man. You got to give him a reason to stick around. Dame Lillard should be enough of a reason for that man to stick around. Because if you just let James Harden walk, then he looks around and is like, yo, what? Like, what is this? Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, and I saw something. I saw that, like, the contract Maxey's gonna get is gonna be 5 and 200.
Yeah,
like what?
That's nasty. I'm sorry.
No, I like
Tyrese Maxey. That's a disgusting contract.
But you know what you said? You like Tyrese Maxey. You don't love Tyrese. No, I feel like I don't know. Like no, that's a better slightly no, not slightly better. That's a barely better version of Tobias Harris. No, like you.
No. It's noticeably better. Not
only. No, but like I don't know. But it's still a handcuffing deal for a non-franchise guy because correct. I think you know what? Like Tyrese Maxey is probably I don't know. He's gonna be one of these dudes that like that ends up on an all-star team, maybe two. He's not a franchise player. And like there's no shame in saying that. Like I don't know, but like you don't give non-franchise players 5 and 200. You don't.
No,
you live that nightmare because I mean when you do this like when you do this eulogy, that's gonna be one of the top things that like prevented the Sixers from reaching their potential was just I don't know having to just having 37, 38, 39, $40 million attached to a not even close to all-star player.
Yeah, like you got yourself out of the whole Al Horford thing. You even got yourself out of the whole Ben Simmons thing and got something back, you know, who got a guy back who can play. Like that Tobias Albatross is just too much, man. Like you just can't have that dude like around making that much money doing that. Like you can't have your fourth best player, you know, doing that, making $38 million. Like you just can't have
No, and really, like this is probably the best chance if a Dame is out there or is Dame a better option than like a Jimmy Butler?
Dame time. Oh, you're not gonna get me off this Dame thing. It's all about Dame. Like
no, but I don't know. But like Tyrese Maxey, like before you give him this deal, he has an infinite amount of value. Once you give him that 5 and 200, he has zero value to anyone. So yeah, I really think this might be the best time if there's a dude that's available, and maybe it's Dame. How many years in a row are we going to – like, thankfully, we didn't live through it the last year because we had hard – how many years are we going to go through this Dame watch in the summertime?
No, it's over. This is it. This is the year. Because Dame really sounds like he's tired of playing with Matisse Thybulle. And he's like, look, man, I got to get out of here. Like, I'm not here for the rebuild. This is it.
No. But can you beat any – because a lot of these last stand teams, like Miami's – probably in their last stand because like this is it for them too.
This is it
for a lot of teams, and I think Dame is kind of like that last salvo to say I think he's the last guy to make your superstar player happy, whether it's Embiid, it's mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler, like I don't know, a bunch of dudes. So let's just hope they can be Miami's deal. Like I don't know, like is like Tyler Hero, I guess he's that like trade piece du jour, but like no, right. I feel like I don't know. Like I think the Sixers have a better shot of anyone to like I don't know. Like whatever it takes, if you can get like once you leave, like that's the thing. Like I don't know. Like once you like I don't know, because you're gonna need the like once you like do a sign and trade with Houston and like you'll get a bunch of cap room or whatever. You're gonna need to give up Maxey. And if that's the case, then
this is a three-way deal. Houston's going to send all those young bulls that they don't want to play up to Portland. I'm telling you, this is how it's going to work out. I picture this in my head for like the last 48 hours. Like this is it. Like Jalen Green and all them dudes, you like send them whatever, do whatever, like whoever you don't want.
So they're going to trade Jalen Green for James Harden?
Why not? I'm not saying Jalen Green specifically. I'm just saying, whatever.
Oh man, you really are turning into one of these like delusional fathers. No, Dame you're time. Gonna no, you're gonna need to give up Tyrese Maxey for Dame.
I don't care. Okay. Dame time. I don't care.
February, but like do May you 15th, still like
whatever?
But this Dame isn't time. Like this isn't Harden 2.0.
What Dame?
Yeah.
No. He's not.
Do you think he has more in the tank?
Do you think he has more? Not here. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I think Damian Lillard. I don't know how old is he. 31. I'm looking it up right now. 32. He's 32. He'll be 33 in July.
And I think he'll be a hell of a lot motivated than James Harden. I think like living through the Harden era is like I don't like. I mean, he's not the peak of intensity. He's not. But he's hell of a talented. And unfortunately, you really just got Harden just 2 years late. You did.
Yeah, well, and hopefully James Harden will kind of do whatever he can to kind of make this run a deep run for the Sixers. But if not, then we'll see what happens. Sadly, we were not able to talk about the NFL. Or shout out to John Rahm for winning the Masters. We'll get to the other stuff in the sports world next week. Same bat time, same bat channel here on 106.5 FM or wherever you get your podcast. So, again, please tune in to the next edition of the Broad Street Line. But until then, we are out of here. Mr. Domingo, take us out, please.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
See you guys.
We made USAA insurance for veterans like James. When he found out how much USAA was helping members save, he said,
"It's time to switch."
We'll help you find the right coverage at the right price. USAA. What you're made of, we're made for. Restrictions apply.